Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you tonight. We thank you for the opportunity to be here together. We pray that you might encourage us from your word. We thank you for our sisters and our brothers who led us as we worshiped and honored you. You alone are worthy of our praise, Lord Jesus, and so we honor you tonight. You are the name above all names, King of Kings, Lord of Lords. You are our great high priest. We come to the throne of grace because we need your help. We need your help every day. Today's no different. We need your help. So we ask that you might help us as we come tonight to prepare ourselves as we open the Word of God that we might hear and then obey. We pray for those who are part of our church who have great struggles tonight, some in the hospital, others in difficult places. Troubles are all around us. We pray for all of our people in their afflictions and pains and in their joys. We pray that you might come close to them and meet their needs as we know you will. Help them to learn the lessons that you want to teach them in their sufferings and in their joys. So, Lord, we thank you for the chance to pause in the middle of the week. Forgive us of our sins, things we have said, places we've gone, things we've thought about that do not honor you nor glorify your name. We pray that you might forgive us of our sin. We cannot receive your word implanted in our hearts and minds and souls. If there's sin in our life, we confess our sin. And so now we ask that the Holy Spirit be our teacher. Open your word to us that we might see the wonderful things you have for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, good evening. Good to see all of you. And if you have been with us, we're studying the book of Hebrews. We're moving toward the end, and it's a delight to see all of you. God bless you for being here. If you don't have a copy of the notes, the study notes, Doc, do you have some of those? Did you already give those out? Anyway, if you need one, if you raise your hand, our hander outer of lesson notes will give it to you here. And we are glad you're here. If you've never been with us before, we've been journeying in the book of Hebrews for a long time. And it's been a wonderful time. So many things for us to learn. So many things for us to come to understand. Paul wrote the book of Hebrews to these early Jewish Christians. That's why it's called Hebrews. Some of whom were having a hard time. Some were just discouraged as believers. Others were coming close. They didn't necessarily know the Lord as Savior. They were not saved and born again, but they were interested, and yet they were feeling pressure and persecution regarding following Jesus. So this book is about learning how to endure in all kinds of circumstances as Christians. And tonight we come to chapter 12 and 13 as Paul wraps these things up. We looked last week at Hebrews chapter 11, a famous chapter, the chapter on faith. So how do we endure? We live by faith. Let me go back and remind you of that before we get started on the outline. I'm reminding you this, and I might as well go ahead and say it looking around. This is a familiar group. So if you come on Sundays, the next little while on Sunday mornings, I'm going to be talking about tested faith. So there is some repetition in some of the things I'll be saying, but we need repetition. I need it, you need it. And so we're going to be thinking about what it means to live by faith and come to understand that faith is only as good as it is tested. That's the message of God's Word. Your faith is only as strong as it is tested. So we go back in Hebrews chapter 10 as we begin, and we look in Hebrews chapter 10. And we look in verse number 38. Again, these wonderful words from Habakkuk. But my righteous one shall live by faith. We mentioned last week. We live by faith. We walk by faith, Paul teaches us, not by sight. So our commitment is to saving faith in Jesus and then a life of faith. We believe Jesus for all the things we need in life. We live by faith. We're not people of the world anymore. We don't go off of all of our own ideas. We don't trust in all of people and all these circumstances. We saw Sunday morning, if you were here with us, talking about what Paul says to rich Christians, and we are rich Christians, for us not to set our hope in the uncertainty of riches. So the just live by faith. The righteous live by faith. And then chapter 11 is that great, amazing, famous chapter on faith. And then we come to chapter 12. And we have a conclusion. So let me read the last two verses of Hebrews 11 now. And all these things, and all of these that he's mentioned, having gained approval through their faith, did not receive what was promised, these Old Testament saints. Because God had provided something better for us so that apart from us, they would not be made perfect. And that is the idea. They would not be completed without us. We're all together in this. All of us who are God's people of faith. Those Old Testament saints saved by faith, looking toward the coming of the Messiah, toward the promised one. We looking back at the cross and believing in Jesus. So you're saved tonight by your faith. You're not saved by your works. You're not saved by a ritual, some kind of ritual. And then we come to this therefore. I mention these to you because they're always important as you read the Bible. You have therefore in verse number 1, therefore in verse 12, and you have therefore in verse number 28. Therefore, since we have so great a cloud of witnesses, so tonight we'll only get through. I have much to say to you, and I realized today that as I was putting this together, there's no way to get beyond verse 11. So tonight we focus on two very important principles, and I'll talk about those in just a moment. But let's read these verses together, and then you can have a little bit of this in your mind, and you can keep your Bible open. We'll come back, and I'll give you a little bit more on how this section of the book of Hebrews wraps up. Therefore, since we have so great a cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us also lay aside every encumbrance and the sin which so easily entangles us, and let us run, please notice the word, with endurance, the race that is set before us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him who has, notice it for the second time, endured such hostility by sinners against himself, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. You have not yet resisted to the point of shedding blood in your striving against sin. And you have forgotten the exhortation which is addressed to you as sons. Now he quotes for us here from Proverbs chapter 3. My son, do not regard lightly the discipline of the Lord, nor faint when you are reproved by him. For those whom the Lord loves, he disciplines, and he scourges every son whom he receives. It is for discipline that you endure. God deals with you as with sons. For what son is there whom his father does not discipline? But if you are without discipline, of which all have become partakers, then you are illegitimate children and not sons. Furthermore, we had earthly fathers to discipline us, and we respected them. Shall we not much rather be subject to the Father of spirits and live? For they disciplined us for a short time as seemed best to them, but he disciplines us for our good so that we may share his holiness. All discipline for the moment seems not to be joyful, but sorrowful. Yet to those who have been trained by it, afterwards it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness. May the Lord add his blessings to the word of God. Now let me give you, and I did not give you all of these points in the out. I've only given you two primary points tonight in chapter 12. The first one is, we'll observe in the first three verses that we who are followers of Jesus run. He's using a metaphor here. We run with endurance the race set before us. So the metaphor is the racer, the runner, surrounded in the stadium in the ancient world. This metaphor is very important. We'll talk about it more in just a moment. Then we see, secondly, in chapter 12, verses 4 through 11, that we endure the discipline of God. So tonight we talk about two things: running with endurance the race set before us. Secondly, enduring the discipline of God. These two principles, these two truths, are foundational for us to understand what has already been said for chapters and chapters in the book of Hebrews. This is the conclusion, coming out of understanding what it means to be saved by faith, what it means to live by faith. Now we come to these very important truths. I want to go ahead and give you, just if you note some things, the third thing we'll look at next week, Lord willing, is, so here's the point of this is, chapter 12 is about Christian endurance. What do we learn about it? Number one, you run with endurance the race set before you. Number two, you endure the discipline of God. Number three, you pursue peace and holiness. That's in verses 12 through 17. Number four, how do you endure as a Christian? Oh, this is for you tonight. This is for you tonight. This is going to help you endure. The fourth way is, we live in heavenly mindedness, not earthly mindedness. That's chapter 12, verses 18 through 24. And then finally, how do we endure? We listen to God's promises. So I'll say them again. If you don't hear anything else, this is the essence of chapter 12. Christian endurance. That's what we're doing tonight. We're enduring. It is God's purpose. It is God's will that we endure. In all kinds of circumstances and troubles and joys and all the rest. In a world filled with chaos and trouble and sin. We run with endurance the race set before us. We endure discipline from God. We pursue peace and holiness. So that's what we're running for. Peace and holiness. And we live in heavenly mindedness and hope. And we listen to God's promise. So you'll have to get those last three if you come next week. So tonight, let's go back to the first three verses. Very familiar. Looking around this Wednesday night crowd, this is a very knowledgeable group of people. But I want us to go back and look at these words. And this is the challenge you have tonight as you study God's Word. It's my challenge. How to allow the Word of God to be fresh and new every time you read it and study it. Some of you teach these words just like me or better than me. Some of you preach these words. But tonight, that's not the duty. The duty is to hear it and apply it. So what is it that the Lord would have for you tonight? Well, I hope and pray that as you hear these things tonight, God will say something to you and you will leave saying, that was for me. That was for me. And it'll be different things for different ones of us, because the amazing work of the Holy Spirit is to take God's word and apply it just where you and I need it. And that's such a good thing. So let me make some observations from these first three verses. Again, therefore, since we have so great a cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us, this is a common phrase in Hebrews. Remember, we've seen it before. Let us draw near to God. Let us. This is something we all must do. This isn't something that just a few of us need to do. This is for all of us who are followers of Jesus. Let us, first of all, recognize that we're surrounded by others who've gone before us, who've lived a life of faith enduring. You remember this was the theme of Hebrews 11? They did not receive the promise, but they believed by faith, though they did not receive the promise. This is endurance. Some of us have been praying and believing God to do something in our lives for years, and it hasn't happened yet. Yes, you and I endure. We endure. This is the purpose. This is a part of God's will for shaping us into people who are like Jesus. So this great cloud of witnesses, they are the Hall of Fame. They are those who've gone before, reminding us of endurance. But we must do something first. To endure, we must put some things aside that hold us back and keep us, that make us weary. You see, if you run, you have to take off of, you know that the runners who do this, we all know, we've seen enough running. You take off, the runners have the least amount of clothing so that they can run. Their legs are free and their arms are free. They're not encumbered. They're not entangled. They're not held back. They're not weighted down. If you run with a bunch of encumbrance, you get tired. It's not walking here, it's running that is described. And I'll talk more about this image of running in just a moment. But first I pause to say, under B, what distractions, relationships, and sins are keeping you, are weakening you in your faith? You need to ask that question. That can come from a lot of different sources in your life and mine. I'm going to ask it again. He says to us, let us lay aside every encumbrance and the sin which so easily, not the least, not this is the toy sin. This is the favorite sin. This is that one that tends to be by our flesh, comes back to us with regularity. Let us lay aside every encumbrance and the sin which so easily entangles us. It's got you tangled up. It can be frustration and anger and unforgiveness towards someone in the past. It can be, I'm just illustrating. It could be your obsession with having more. It could be any number of things. But all of us have, because of our nature, our old sin nature, this danger of allowing distractions and relationships that are not honoring to God and sins of all kinds to entangle us. So the first thing we must do to run with endurance is put aside these entanglements. My friend, are you entangled tonight? Are you unable to believe God because you're entangled? Someone or something's got you. As one of my friends who's in this room was talking about someone who allowed a relationship to block their walk with God. It was entangling. It was blocking them from having a relationship with God. They didn't think about their walk with God. They were always thinking about this bad relationship. Oh, we must be willing to put them aside. Lay it aside. This phrase, to lay aside, is the same phrase Paul uses in some of the other letters talking about putting off the old man, putting on the new. It's that dirty clothes hamper at your house. You laid those clothes aside. Thankfully, some of us need to do laundry, don't we? You laid them aside. You have to lay these aside. So we see believers must then run with endurance the race. It's a contest. It's a contest. Look at this. And let us run with endurance. Let us run with endurance. I've given you here the definition. The Greek word for endurance can be translated. It's a compound word in Greek, and it is hard to exactly translate it into English. The idea is patient endurance. Sometimes it's translated patience. Sometimes it's translated in your Bibles, perseverance. So perseverance, patience, endurance. All three of these English words carry with them the idea of a spirit hopefully putting up with things, patiently continuing, though things are not always easy and are hard. There's not an individual in this room who is not experiencing spiritual endurance. You may not know that's what it is, but that's what it is. You're waiting for this thing to be resolved, but it's never been resolved. Might not ever be resolved in your lifetime. You've prayed about it. You've asked the Lord why. And you're required to live for Jesus with this issue or these issues, and they're not fixed. We want everything fixed. And you know our idea is, if it's all fixed and good, I'll really be able to follow Jesus. We know that's a lie. So tonight, we are challenged. Let us run with endurance the race. I ask you tonight, are you running with endurance, or are you entangled, weary? You can't run. Hebrews 10:36, I've given you some verses here that are very important. And these are all verses that use the word endurance. We saw it earlier when we looked in chapter 10, verse number 36. For you have need of endurance. Are you hearing me tonight? Listen to the pastor. This is like when you go to the doctor. And the doctor says, I just went to mine. He said, well, congratulations. You're too fat. You're eating the wrong stuff. He's my friend. We've been friends for 20 years. And you need to get, you're too old for that, shape up. That was my doctor's visit. How do you like that for a physical? You're too fat, you're eating the wrong stuff, and you know better than that. All right, thank you. Then I went and got a Butterfinger and a Dr. Pepper, and no, I'm joking. His point was to say, this is what you need. And I didn't want to hear what he said I needed. You know, people come to church and they say, this is what I need. This is what I want the church to do for me. This is what I want the preacher or the programs of the church. I need this. Do you? What do you need tonight, friend? Do you need a new relationship with somebody? Do you need a new car? Do you need a new family? Do you need a new husband or wife? Or do you need endurance? Whoever signs up for that? But if you run, you learn about endurance. Running and endurance are tied together. This is why I'm convinced this metaphor is used. Paul uses this metaphor of running because running and endurance go together. You can't run without endurance. It's impossible. The very act calls for and reminds us of endurance. It's different than walking. Walking requires some endurance, but not like running. Just go out and try to run around the church one time, and you'll see. Paul says something else about endurance in Romans chapter 5. I'm not going to comment on this for long, but I do want to mention several things. I'd like for you to turn there. I think this is worth you having this. Again, I'm not going to assume that everybody knows these things, so I'm going to take the time and say, this is one you need to mark in your Bible if it's not already marked. For here Paul talks about, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God. We've obtained this glorious introduction by faith into the grace of God, and we stand in that, and we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. That's so good. Romans 5, 1 and 2, we love that. But then we get to the hard stuff. And not only this. See, he uses the word exalt. I'm reading from the New American Standard in chapter 5, 2. He says, we exalt in hope, but we also exalt, oh no, in tribulations. Oh my. I thought when I got saved, it would be like being on the river, flowing down the smooth river and the birds dropping food in my mouth, the sun shining, perfect 70 degrees, and all is well forever, and I never have a problem. Whoever told you that's what it means to live the Christian life sold you a bill of goods. No, we exalt in the hope of the glory of God, and we exalt in trouble. Knowing, okay, stay with me, 5:3, knowing. This is knowing. This is a mind word. This is something all of us must understand. This is a point of teaching tonight. If you don't know this, I want you to know it tonight. Know this about your troubles. Trouble brings perseverance. It's the same Greek word Paul uses here in Hebrews chapter 12. Run the race with endurance. Only here in the New American Standard is translated perseverance, same Greek word. Know this, that trouble brings about perseverance. See, you're in your trouble and you can't get out of it and you're having to put up with it. Ah, now you're getting close to endurance. The runner puts up with his legs hurting. The runner puts up with the pain of it. The runner puts up with the heat or the cold or the elements. The runner puts up with those who come around him to compete. We exalt in tribulations, knowing that that brings about perseverance. Look, perseverance brings proven character, and proven character, hope. It's like a golden chain. In Romans chapter 15, verse 4, whatever was written in earlier times, talking about the Old Testament, was written for our instruction so that through perseverance, it's also the Greek word endurance, we might have hope. Hope is tied to enduring. And some of you believe that when you have to endure, it makes you hopeless. My friend, you've missed it somewhere. Our faith leads us to believe God and be hopeful while we're enduring great troubles and pains. There's not a day that goes by. Just look at the prayer list we've given you, which is not complete. Just look at Watchman Prayer when it comes out. It's not complete. Those are just the reports of those given to us that are reported to the church. Oh, the troubles. That's why I say to you all the time, be kind to everybody. Everybody's having a hard time. Everybody. From the least to the greatest. Paul says again, Colossians 1:11. He prays for the Colossian church. I'm breaking into this now in your notes. Strengthened with all power. He prays that they will be strengthened with power. So we pray for each other. Pray for God to give us strength. And then he says, according to his glorious might, for what? For the attaining of, in the New American Standard, it's translated steadfastness. It's the same Greek word, endurance. We pray for God's power so that we can endure. Speaking with one of our people today who's had a string of things in their life they don't understand. Why all of this? There is no answer to that. That's in the hands of God. But the prayer was, may this person have power to endure. 2 Thessalonians 3:5, may the Lord direct your hearts into the love of God. Oh, what a beautiful phrase this is. What a beautiful phrase. And into the steadfastness or the endurance of Christ. That's what we need. That's what the Holy Spirit gives us. The endurance of Jesus, and we're about to talk about it. That's what you need. The endurance of Jesus. James 1, 3, and 4, we know these verses. Sunday morning, I'll be talking more about them, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. Let endurance have its perfect work. Stop trying to break up endurance. Stop trying to disconnect God's work of allowing you to endure. Don't mess it up. Let endurance have its perfect result so that you may be complete, lacking in nothing. Now, quickly, the word race. So look at this now. Let us lay aside with endurance the race. This word race is also translated, the Greek word race is translated in multiple ways. I've given them to you here. Sometimes it's translated fight. It's the same Greek word. Agon. 1 Timothy 6:12. Fight the good fight of faith. It wouldn't make sense to race. Agon has this idea of agony. 2 Timothy 4:7. I have fought the good fight. Paul's describing his Christian experience as a battle. A race, a fight. Sometimes this word is translated, this word race, as conflict. Philippians 1, he says to the Philippian church that they were experiencing the same conflict that they saw in him. This word conflict, the same race. Sometimes it is translated struggle. Colossians 2, 1. I want you to know how great a struggle I have on your behalf. And sometimes race is translated opposition. You see, this word has multi sides to it, multifaceted. Race, opposition, 1 Thessalonians 2, 3. But after we had already suffered and been mistreated in Philippi, as you know, we had boldness in our God to speak the gospel of God amid much opposition. So believers must look to Jesus as our example. We run with endurance the race, the fight, the conflict, the struggle. We endure the fight. We endure the conflict. We endure the struggle. We endure the opposition. Yes, when we came to know Jesus, we've seen it. Our high priest, the Lord Jesus, is in heaven. We go to our high priest. We approach the throne of grace to find help in time of need. But here, we're in a race and we struggle and we fight and we have conflict and we have opposition that seeks to destroy our credibility in following Jesus and to make us weary and give up. Believers must look to Jesus, our example of endurance. So we go on. Fixing our eyes on Jesus. Oh, we've had this before. You remember what faith is? Hebrews 11, 1. Faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. You remember what we saw about Moses? Moses was by faith. He left Egypt, 11, 27, not fearing the wrath of the king. For he, oh, here it is. Are you listening? Moses endured as seeing him who is unseen. That's it. How do I endure? How do I fight? How do I deal with conflict and struggle and opposition, Pastor Mike? You look at Jesus. And you keep looking at Jesus. You don't look at everybody else. You don't look to some other source for your hope. Certainly none in this world. We fix our eyes on Jesus. What a beautiful phrase. It is looking to. It is the picture. Literally to look on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. Look. The Lord has authored and perfected our faith. And then we're reminded, for the joy set before him, he endured the cross. Here's Jesus' endurance. I want to get to this. We must learn to fix our eyes on Jesus, who endured the cross, despising the shame, sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. And then we have this word, for consider him. So you've seen on the news, you need to work on your taxes. The tax people put debits and credits. They reckon accounts. They put them together. This is a financial word. Consider, it means to reckon or to evaluate, to determine where it goes in its place, to reckon, to count. It is a word to meditate. I ask you tonight, when was the last time you sat down and you stopped thinking about your troubles and conflicts, and you thought about Jesus and what he went through? You want to know how to endure? The Bible's telling us here. Consider Jesus. No matter what I may have gone through in my life, none of it compares. None of it compares. For consider him who has endured such hostility by sinners against himself. Oh, tonight, in all of your pain and your struggles and your agony, remember this: Jesus came to his own and his own did not receive him. Absolutely rejected by Israel. Rejected by and large by his family. Rejected and opposed, ruthlessly hated and treated by the religious leaders. His trials and beatings before the Romans, both Gentiles and Jews. His painful death on the cross. Pastor Mike, how do I endure? First of all, you lay aside the things that keep you, that make you weary. You run with endurance and you remember to look at Jesus. You don't look at yourself. Often when talking with people about their troubles, we talk about them. You must turn your eyes toward Jesus. You remember now, as a follower of Jesus, what he's gone through. Some of you tonight, before you lay your head on your pillow and go to sleep, tonight, consider him who endured. Not you who endured. Consider him who endured. The only way we have saving faith, the only way we have salvation, the only way we have hope of heaven is because he endured. Aren't you glad? Aren't you glad he endured? He is our example. And so he says, for consider him who endured such hostility by himself, by sinners against himself, so that, notice, this is tied to weariness and losing heart, so that you don't lose heart. You're going to lose heart if all you do all the time is think about and focus on how hard it is for you. No. Remember how hard it was for Jesus. Every day. When the new trouble comes, what was it like for Jesus? What was it like for Jesus? Not, oh, woe is me. Look how pitiful I am. Aren't you going to feel sorry for me? No. Consider him who endured such hostility against himself, and you will not grow weary and lose heart. Now we must come quickly to talk about a subject which is extremely important. We talk now about the discipline of God. This word discipline is used throughout this section multiple times. I want to make these observations tonight. Probably I'll come back to some of them next week, because I want to make sure I've dealt with this, because there is a lack of understanding in our day about the discipline of God in the life of the believer. We don't seem to have this challenge when it comes to thinking about child rearing, even though an observation of an old man, grandpa, with my own children, the little ones in our family need a little bit more discipline than they get. Now, it's just an observation. Discipline is absolutely essential for holiness. Discipline is connected to enduring. You know why God allows you to be in the trouble you're in? Because he's disciplining you. Well, I didn't do anything wrong. You're missing the point of, you don't, that means you don't understand the word discipline. So let me talk about it for a moment. You have not resisted to the point of shedding blood in your striving against sin. Weary believers must remember that they've not died in trying to fight off their sin. And you have forgotten the exhortation which is addressed to you as sons. Weary believers must not forget God's word to them as children of God. And then we have this wonderful promise from Proverbs 3, 11 and 12, the promise of God's discipline for his children. I'll go quickly to it. Believers must not ignore the discipline of the Lord. You see, there are some who don't believe in the discipline of the Lord. They think that that discipline has to do with judgment. It's not the same word. No, this is about family. This is about God's family. How does God treat his children? I'll tell you what the Lord does. He disciplines his children. Now, I may not be happy that my children don't discipline to the level they should. God perfectly disciplines his children. And there's nothing you can do about it. I hope you heard me. So, you know, some of us, when we got disciplined as kids, were like this first example. My son, do not regard lightly the discipline of the Lord. Discipline is the word padia. It is the word that means life training. It was used to take children through a pattern of life training, and physical correction was a part of it, but disciplinary correction. This is the idea. So the Lord has allowed some things to come in your life, this opposition and trouble and difficulties, and you don't like it. But are you tonight ignoring this as the discipline of God? Let me give you some examples of how people ignore the discipline of God. Jeremiah 5:3, O Lord, do not your eyes look for truth? He's speaking of Israel, but you have smitten them. Notice this, you have smitten them, but they did not weaken. You have consumed them, but they refused to take correction. They have made their faces harder than a rock. They have refused to repent. That's what it means to take lightly the discipline of the Lord. You bow up. Have you ever seen a kid bow up when they're starting to get in trouble? Amy, have you ever seen that? They bow up. God's children bow up. We read on. Jeremiah 19:15. They have stiffened their necks so as not to heed my word. This morning in my reading, I was reading the book of Amos. I mean, over and over this phrase is recurring in Amos 4, talking about the absolute obstinance and refusal to be disciplined and to come back to God. Amos 4, and here's the phrase. God would do something, and it says, yet you have not returned to me. That's what it means. I could go on. To ignore the discipline of the Lord. Tonight, are you ignoring God's discipline? You don't like it. Well, that's not for you and I to determine. That is for our loving Father to decide. The second is on the other side of the ditch. Believers must not despair the discipline of the Lord. You can ignore it or you can despair in it. And oh, the Psalms are filled with this. Notice, nor faint when you are reproved of him. Psalm 39:10, remove your plague from me. I am consumed by the blow of your hand. This is fainting under the discipline of God. For all day long I have been plagued and chastened every morning. Judges 6:13, but now the Lord has forsaken us and delivered us into the hands of Midianites. Proverbs 24:10, if you faint in the day of adversity, your strength is small. Oh, the disciplining hand of God, are you ignoring it? Or are you despairing under it? Well, believers must remember that God's discipline is for them because He loves them. Verse 6, for those whom the Lord loves, He disciplines. May I tell you this tonight? Your Heavenly Father loves you enough to discipline you completely. Well, it's not fair. That's for Him to determine, not us. He loves those whom He disciplines, and He scourges every son whom He receives. Oh, we must remember tonight, God's discipline is fatherly love. I want you tonight, and this will be what we'll do finally, and then we'll come back next week, and I want you to go to Lamentations in your Bible. Find the book of Lamentations. It's after Jeremiah. Find Jeremiah. That's a big book. You can't miss it in the prophets. Find Lamentations, also written by Jeremiah. Jeremiah was lamenting the discipline of God. And I'll refer to this again next week. There's a tremendous section here that teaches us about how we're to deal with God's discipline in our afflictions. We don't understand the permitting of God in the affliction, the trouble, the conflict, the opposition, and how God takes it and disciplines us. But you see, we're not God. That's why He is our Lord and we are His people. We don't know why He would allow these things to happen. We cannot understand them. But we read these wonderful words, and they're so instructive for us. Lamentations 3:19. Remember my affliction and my wandering, the wormwood and bitterness. That's some of you's prayer tonight. That's the way you feel. And you've felt this way a long time. Remember my affliction, my wandering, the wormwood and bitterness. Surely my soul remembers and is bowed down within me. See, this is one who is understanding the discipline of God, the loving discipline of God. He says, this I recall to my mind. And what happens? I have hope. Listen, the Lord's loving kindnesses indeed never cease, my Christian friend. His compassion never fails. Notice His loving kindnesses and His compassion. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. Aren't you glad? So in the midst of Jeremiah saying, I am the bitterness, the wormwood, the wandering, the affliction, I'm bowed down with it. I'm down. I am experiencing trouble and difficulty. We're reminded here that as we close, for those whom the Lord loves, He disciplines. And He scourges every son whom He receives. And I'm going to read the first phrase of verse 7, and then this will be it. It is for discipline that you endure. Pastor Mike, what's the answer to my trouble? If you're a Christian, if you're a follower of Jesus, it is for discipline that you endure. Next week, we'll talk about why God allows this to happen. Heavenly Father, we thank You for the Word of God. We thank You for the truth of Your Word. And we thank You, Lord, that Your loving kindnesses are fresh and new every day. As we labor, as we struggle, as we have our pains, as we feel Your heavy hand, Your disciplining rod in our lives, help us, Lord, to run the race with endurance. We thank You for all that You've done for us. May we look to Jesus, the author and finisher, the author and perfecter of our faith. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. God bless you for being here tonight. We'll see you Sunday. Say hello to somebody if you don't know them. There may be some people here you don't know. God bless you. Have a great week.